Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, February 7th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
I'm glad to have you with me because it's Friday, which means Security Friday is making a triumphant return to its traditional place, having done two of them. as the spot here on Daily Observations. So the first thing I want to start with is some news. So what headlines do you have for us about security?
Yeah, so the first one, there's a security flaw found in WhatsApp, and it sounded like it was just on the desktop version. Mm-hmm. It's already been patched, so we don't need to worry about it. Let's see. I think the latest, or it says, it was present in versions prior to 0.3.9309.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Basically, it just allowed for an attacker to kind of craft a special message, which would allow for cross-site scripting, and they would be able to read your file system.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is obviously not good.
Yeah.
And as these things usually go, all the victim has to do is just click on that malicious URL in the message.
Well, and that's almost good news, because we have seen instances where something sketchy comes to your computer or whatever, and you don't have to do anything in order to be infected. So I'm glad that this one at least takes action.
With Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
Like, he didn't need to do anything.
Yes. And that was also WhatsApp. Just to put that out. The other thing that this points out is something that I'm sure you will hear a lot of on Security Fridays, and that is keep things up to date. Because then when stuff like this comes out, and, oh, there's a security flaw, oh, but they already patched it, so I have the latest version, so I'm covered. Like, it can just save you a bunch of hassle.
Like, you know, for Security Friday, we also try to share a tip with everyone. And keeping everything up to date is probably the most important thing to do.
Yes. Today's tiny tip is just check those updates once in a while. I would add the Kelly corollary to that, which is I don't let things update automatically because I like to. And that's everything. Partly because I come from the olden days of computing when, if you were installing a system update, for example, it was hard to get a hold of that file, first of all, and it was a file of a significant size. And for people who don't remember, like Andrew, we used to have to use landlines as our internet access. And when you have to do that, and the thing that you are doing over that landline is downloading a file that's 200 or 300 megabytes, like right now that doesn't take very long, but in the olden days it took forever. So you had to commit, like, I'm not getting phone calls for the next hour, that kind of stuff, you know, in order to make sure that you were getting everything downloaded. And a few times something would go really wrong with an update, and that, you know, so I always like gave it 24 hours to kind of hang out. In the old days it was longer, but now, like, with social media and everything, whenever there's a problem, it's very evident very fast. So it's pretty easy for me to just go, okay, you know what? It's been like 24 hours and nobody's screaming about this update to this app or this system update or, you know, things like that. And then plus, knowing people who do leap joyfully into the void has also tempered my enthusiasm for updates. People may remember the former host of the show, Jeff Gamet, who installed the iOS update that took away the ability to call people. So he and I were on the phone. I think I was using like FaceTime audio to his computer or something so that we could talk, and helping him figure out a way around how to at least be able to get phone calls while we wait for Apple to grant the ability to make a phone call back to your phone. So It's definitely a thing, particularly if you have things that are production apps, things that you use on your computer to make money, things like that. You definitely want to at least be aware of what's being changed in the update. Just kind of glance at the notes. You don't have to read them in depth. There's no quiz. But just take a minute and look through this. And yes, that means I probably spend more time on the update screen than most people do. But for the most part, more than once it has saved me from a bunch of hassle or from having an app stuck, you know, on my screen that I know isn't working until there's another update that comes out for it and things like that. So it's helpful often enough that I'm willing to put in the little bit of extra time the rest of the time to not let those updates happen automatically. But I do keep on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's today's tiny tip and massive Kelly corollary on what that tip is, which is definitely keep your stuff up to date, but try to have an awareness of what those things are. So do you have any other headlines for us, Andrew?
Yeah, so the other thing, there was a flaw found in macOS Terminal. And again, like the WhatsApp one, this has already been patched. Mm-hmm. So this had to do with the sudo command. And people familiar with Unix-based systems like Linux or macOS, OS X,
mm-hmm.
Sudo is a very powerful command. It lets a person run commands with like higher level permissions than they would normally have. And so this particular bug, like basically this bug could let an attacker trigger what's called a stack-based buffer overflow, even by users who don't have these sudo permissions. Now, I do know some basic security. I don't know what this overflow is, but mm-hmm. it's obviously not good.
Mm-hmm.
It was only present under certain conditions. So the person has to have what's called PW feedback enabled in the sudo configuration file.
Mm-hmm.
And this PW feedback just means that when you type in your password, it will show you asterisks, because normally if it's off, you don't see anything. So you're blindly having to type the sudo password.
Right.
And there is a way to check that, again, by running this command called sudo-l, lowercase l. And then you have to look to see if PW feedback is listed under what the, like you'll see a bunch of text appear called matching defaults. If PW feedback does appear under that, then you can go to that configuration file and change defaults PW feedback to defaults exclamation point or bang PW feedback.
Oh, all right.
It's a simple fix.
Okay. So I know a tiny bit about what buffer overflow is. So I'm going to share the tiny bit that I know. And that is generally like an app or a command or things will have a certain amount of memory that they can stake out. So mm-hmm. there's the, like, the buffer is, it's like your browser cache, right? So you can, you know, things get temporarily written there and you can go back to them later. And the problem is that a buffer overflow, if you're not doing a good job of the memory management within the app, or there's some sort of exploit where somebody can get around that, buffer overflow is when you write way more data to that buffer file than it's supposed to have. So, you know, it's a few K and you write megabytes and megabytes, for example. And the reason that's bad is because it's still writing and it's got to go somewhere. So now that data is being written to adjacent memory on your computer, which was holding other stuff that maybe you wanted to be using for something. The stuff that you need in order for your... So that's why sometimes if something weird is happening with your computer, this is a thing that can sometimes happen. Having it triggered maliciously is a separate kind of thing. But a buffer overflow, this is a bug that used to happen a lot. It's a lot less common now. But that's what happens, is that all this stuff is getting written and it has to be written somewhere. And it sort of stomps on all the borders of the buffer that particular thing has. So like Terminal has a certain amount of buffer that it's allowed to use. And when you stomp all over the limits of that, now it's moving over into your Safari preferences or your mail preferences or whatever else you're using. And that can be, it makes things act weird. It can lock your computer up solid. You can lose the last few changes of that file. There's all kinds of weird stuff that happens from it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because in my article, I wanted to go deeper into it and tell people where to find the sudoers configuration file and how to edit it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I'm like, you know, it's been too long since I've done terminal work. I'll just tell people the command.
Well, tell people about it, because you either know, if you don't know what sudo is, or sudo, if you're one of those people, If you don't know what that is, this bug does not affect you. That's okay. Right. If you're wondering what terminal is, this bug does not affect you. You know, if you do know, then you know how to, you know, at least there's probably something you can do to get this fixed if you might be susceptible. So I think you probably hit it the right way.
Yeah, and also I'm pretty sure that PW feedback is off by default because it wasn't enabled on my system, and I haven't messed with that particular thing at all.
I do mess with the terminal regularly, and mine is off by default. Mine is off, so I don't have to worry about disabling it either. So luckily I'm not susceptible to it either. Yay. So that's good news. So, and again, this is one that's fixed. So if you're staying up to date, this isn't a thing that's going to bother you. And that's good news. So we're going to, excuse me, we're going to pause briefly here. And I'm going to talk a little bit about our sponsor today. Our sponsor is Zapier. And the great thing about Zapier is that it allows you to hook your stuff to all your other stuff. You can automate a bunch of things if you're one of those people who believed once we lived in the computer age that your computer would be able to do all those boring things for you. That's true. And you don't have to learn a bunch of code, and you don't have to learn a specific programming language or anything to make that happen. All you have to do is set up an account with Zapier, and you can use Zapier to send that email address to a spreadsheet, or when something happens, make sure that you get notified that this particular thing succeeded or failed. Or one of the things that we use it for is integration with Slack, so that we get a reminder every morning for the morning meeting that pops up as a link in Slack, and we're able to follow that link successfully. Dave uses it in some cool ways, I know. You, like I said, you don't have to write any code, and people who are using it are saving an average of 40 hours a month. So all you have to do to get in on this, just for you, my listeners, if you go to zapier.com/TDO, ZAPIER.com/TDO, you get a free 14-day trial, and that offer is good through the end of the month. So go to zapier.com/TDO, and we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other thing we wanted to talk about a little bit today is a question we got on our Facebook page. And the specific question was if there is anti-malware software that we can recommend. And or if even you recommend installing it. And I would say the answer is yes. And mm-hmm. the answer is, and that answer is incomplete, because I believe you should have antivirus as well as anti-malware. They're two different things, and you want to make sure that you are protecting yourself from both of them. So, Andrew, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, so a virus is just one type of malware. And so if you just have a program that's specifically antivirus, it may not be able to find the other types of bad programs like ransomware, worms, Trojan horses, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole bunch of different kinds.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways people want to break your computer. A bunch. Yeah.
Now, I'm kind of a hypocrite here, because I do recommend that generally having an anti-malware and antivirus is good, even if you're on a Mac, because Mac users can still get these things too. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funny, and everyone will laugh, because I am like the security person at TMO, but I currently do not have any antivirus or any anti-malware strict tools. I do have a couple of a handful of independent little tools that I can use, and they give me alerts for various things. Mm-hmm. But no, not a big antivirus program. The thing is that I did used to use a tool called Malwarebytes, or uh-huh. Anti-Malwarebytes. I recommend it. It's a good tool. The thing is that the free version, it's very limited. I mean, free versions of these are always limited. And yes. So there's no real-time protection. You have to manually click the scan button to scan it. Mm-hmm. And so in my use, I had that, and I would remember to run the scan, once a month or so. Mm-hmm. So eventually I deleted it, because I didn't think it was doing much for me anyway under those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I was trying to come up with this article for like four or five open source antivirus tools, but I could only find one. So that wasn't really much use. Now, this one was called Clam AV.
Yeah.
But there's no straightforward way for people to download it.
You there have is. To,
like, well, what the website said, like, you have to install it via Homebrew or something like that. And well, I figured that was too complicated.
Let's spend a moment because that is the one that I have installed. And I have it installed from the App Store. So it may not be available in the App Store anymore. But that was where I got it.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to check right now.
I'm like typing in the App Store. I'm trying to type quietly. I'm typing in the App Store right now and I'm not finding it. So I think it may not be there now.
No, it's not there.
Yeah, and it may have something to do with, you know, a change restriction in the App Store or something. And that might be why it isn't there. But that is what I used to use. And I think I lost it in my last bit of stuff late last year. I think maybe it did not make the cut because I bet you if I search for it, it's not on my computer. So, you can tell I'm super on top of my virus scanning as well. I do have Malwarebytes. I do have that installed.
Okay.
And that is not one that's available in the App Store. That's a thing that you have to go and install. And part of the reason that this is a thing that we need to discuss is because there are apps out there that say that they are antivirus and that they are, they say they're antivirus software or they're disk cleaners or there are things like that, and some of them are super duper sketchy, so you want to make sure that, like, if you feed the name of that app or the name of the company that makes that app into Google or DuckDuckGo, since we're Security Fridaying today, if you go feed that to DuckDuckGo, that you actually get, you know, some more information about it, and that information comes from legitimate places and not superscammysoftware.com or whatever. You want to make sure that you're getting something that's kind of legitimate. One that I've recommended to people on both platforms is Bitdefender. That's one that's pretty reasonable. Like I said, I do like Malwarebytes. I do generally use that one. I do not recommend, because it's something that ships with a lot of stuff, I don't recommend Norton Antivirus. I know it's common, I know it's easy to use, but I also know that there are things out there that you can use that are less expensive that are sort of using the same database of information. This is a thing where it's good to have a subscription, so, you know, like you said, the basics are fine. Yeah. But what you really want is you want those definitions to be updated. So when there is something new that comes out, that you are continuing to be protected against it. So a lot of them, the ones that where you pay to get extra protection, those are generally going to be a subscription. There's nothing wrong with that. Malwarebytes is one I've used. Avast is one. I don't know if they have a Mac version, but I've used Avast on Windows.
I was going to mention Avast. That is another major one.
Yes.
But as we found out, I think it was last week, they got caught collecting data on what everyone was doing on their computers and then selling that for advertising.
Shame on you. Okay, I take back that recommendation. I'm going to quote Brian for a second here. Rewind. I never said it. Bitdefender, like I said, is a good one. And as we're going to continue to tell you here on Fridays, you definitely want to just be aware of what you're installing. When you go through the installer, check the custom box and make it show you everything it's installing. You don't want weird search browser bars or any of that kind of stuff showing up either. So, and if you have questions for us, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can leave comments in the show notes and you can cruise by our Facebook page. If you want to do that, then we will also catch those, but you can get TMO Daily on Twitter. That will probably get you a faster response. So Andrew, thanks for coming by for Security Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good tips.
That's going to do it for us. We will have better antivirus information for you in the future, for sure. Right, Andrew?
One last thing. I think Sophos is another good one.
Oh, yes. Sophos is a good one.
That, seriously,
that's what he's going to install this weekend, kids. And you know it's true because I just did the Jedi hand wave at him. Have an awesome weekend. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.